Okay, we're up to Daf Chav Vav on the base. Let's start from the top. Then go very quickly. So we've been chare b'lazal v'chol k'rabanan. Kishatim siloy ma'aladiver b'liyazam batal v'shus chatzera v'shus beis soy bitel. So the shaila is, a person forgot to participate in the Eruvei Chatzeros. The halacha is, if you forget to participate in the Eruvei Chatzeros, so in order to allow other people to carry you have to be mevatel, relinquish your rights in the chatzer. No longer are you considered to be a balabais in the chatzer. You'll be considered to be nothing more than Hashem Lecha, welcome back. You'll be considered to be nothing more than a guest. You'll be a guest of the other residents of the chatzer. So the shaila is on Shabbos. This you're supposed to make an erev chatzes before Shabbos begins. You forgot to participate in the erev chatzes before Shabbos. Now it's Shabbos. So let's say, for example, there are five people in the courtyard. You're one of five. Four people joined together in the erev. You forgot. So you got a problem. It's not one reshus. The goal of the Erev is to make this courtyard into one family. It's not two families. Four people are one, but you are an independent person that has not participated. So it's really two different reshuyas. So what are you supposed to do? So the answer is you can relinquish your reshus to the other four people. Now you're going to be considered a guest of the other four people. The shaila is, when you relinquish your right, does that allow the people in the courtyard to carry into your house? How far does your relinquishment go? Do you certainly are relinquishing your right in the courtyard, but are you also giving up rights in your private house? The nafka mina will be, are the people in the courtyard allowed now to carry into your house as well? So the Gemara says, this is machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum. When a person relinquishes his rights in the courtyard, is he also relinquishing his rights in his own private house? The question is, hamavatel rishus say ba'ayin yofeh? Mevatel oy ba'ayin roh. The only mevatel ayin yofeh means, once I'm giving up my right in the courtyard, I'm giving up the rights to my private home as well. Everyone in my house is hefker, you can come into my house. Shalom aleichem, welcome back. Or do we say hamavatel rishus, so you're only giving up rights in the courtyard, you're not giving up rights in your private house? One more time, so kishatim zilam aliver b'liezer, hamavatel rishus chatzeroy, rishus beisoy bitel. You mevatel the rights in your private house, you're very generous. L'rabanan, hamavatel rishus chatzeroy, but rishus beisoy loy bitel. That's machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum. The Gemara is pshit, of course. What's the chiddush? The Gemara says, no, there's more to it. There's a hidden nafkamina in this halacha. Omar Rechava, Ano, I, Verafkuna Bar Chinna. He's the same person we had before in the story of the Avanka, the Avanka from yesterday. Targimna, Loi Nitzricha. The hidden nafkamina between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum is El Chamisha Sheshrim B'chatzer Echad, five people living in one courtyard, V'shach Echad Mehen V'lo Iriv. And the issue is, when you go through the motions and you relinquish your rights in the courtyard, must you explicitly state, I'm relinquishing it to Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar, I'm giving it up to every single one, or it's enough just to say I'm giving it up to Reuven? And once you state you're giving it up to Reuven, it's self-understood that you're giving it up to everyone, because it's not enough to go give it up to only one person. You must give up your rights to everyone. You are a guest of all the other four people. Here we go. There are five people. Sheshrim b'chatzar echad v'shach echad mehem v'lo yirev. L'divrei Rabbi Eliezer, we have just learned, he's very generous. When you give up your right in the courtyard, you're giving up the right to your house as well. Your generosity is contagious. So just like you're generous with regard to giving up your right in the bayis, you're also generous with regard to giving it up automatically to the other four people. Kishu mevatel rishusay, ein tzorich levatel l'chol echad v'yechad. It's understood. Just give up your rights to one person. It's self-understood. You're automatically giving up your rights to the other four people as well. But l'rabanan, according to Rabbanan, that a person...
This whole case is talking about five, doesn't make a difference.
No, the 5, 10, 20, 100 doesn't make a difference. It's not making any difference. L'rabanan, according to Rabbanan, it's just an example. Five is an example. L'rabanan, that a person is not... as generous. When you relinquish your rights in the courtyard, you are not automatically relinquishing your rights in your private home. That will translate into the halacha that you must explicitly state, I'm giving up my rights to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar. You have to explicitly say to every single person, L'rabbanan, Geshu, Mevatel, Rishu, Rishu, Tzorich, Levad, Chol, Echad, V'yachad. Period. Okay, that concludes this machlokes. That's the bottom line. We have two different opinions, to Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. How far your generosity extends when you give up your rights in the courtyard in a situation where you forgot to participate in the Erev Shabbos. Next sugya. Kemanos, like whom does it follow? Ha, the time following Bryce. So, Chamisha Sheshrim Chatzah Echad, one courtyard. V'shach Chamihem V'lo Erev. Kishum Vatel V'shusai. Ein Tzorich. You don't have to relinquish Levatel V'shutuchal Lechav Yechad. Keman? Obviously, Rabbi Eliezer, because he is the one that is very generous. He's the one that says very clearly, very turn it around maybe. He's very generous and does not, and it's a given. Fine. Okay, now the Gemara says something a little bit different. Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. Rav Kahana learned the Sugya exactly the way we learned it above. Period. Okay, period. Rav Tevyumei Masni Hachi. But Rav Tevyumei Masni, he learns the Gemara a little bit differently. He had a different tradition as to what was the Shakvatari in the Sugi. Here we go. Come on, Ozlo Hodotanyu, the following bride. So, hey, Shashim Chotzer, Echo, their father in one courtyard. Fishach Echo, one of them, him, Vulei, Rev Kishu, Vatel, Rishu, so, Enoi, Tzorich, Levatel, Rishu, Stucholech, Vyachot, Kiman, like whom? Okay, so, Omar, Rafuna, Bar Yehuda, Omar, Rafshesh, Kiman, Kirabiliyah. So, the only difference over here is the names. The names over here is exactly the same thing. The only difference is it was not Rav Chinino. In the previous version, it was Kiman. We just said Kreb Eliezer. In this version, the only difference is Kiman. It's here we have Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes. He was also part of the discussion, and he says Kiman Kreb Eliezer. So there's really no difference. Halach is exactly the same sugya. The only difference is that in version number two, there was another person that participated in the discussion. He's the one that explained the goal in Kreb Eliezer. He is very generous. Okay, now we can get a new sugya. Amar Papa Al Abaya. Here's the following dilemma. Abaya is the child to Abaya. Probably is the child to Abaya. Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer, we learned the Gemara really with one approach. We're going to see now that it's what I said, what we learned above really is not so simple. I kept telling you the Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is a matter of generosity. That's really the issue. When Rabbi Eliezer says when you relinquish your right in the courtyard, or you are automatically relinquishing your right in the bayis, you're very generous. I'm giving up my courtyard, and you can have my house as well. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Iyamar, let's say the person says, he explicitly says, you know what? Loi meva tilna, I don't give up the right in my house. Here I am, it's Shabbos. I'm one of five. Four of the five people joined in an Erev. I did not join. Therefore, I'm ruining it. Maybe because I threw too much chess. Maybe just turn it. Right. I did not join in the Erev. And being that I did not join in the Erev, I am problematic for the other four people. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give up the rights in my courtyard. Normally, if I just say those words, it automatically means I'm also giving up the rights in my bayis. I don't no longer own my home for the Shabbos. I'm a guest. The other four people own my home, and they can carry from their home into my home. I am a nothing. Let's say I explicitly say, wait a minute, I'm not so generous. I'm giving up the right in the courtyard. So all of you now, I'm a guest of yours in this courtyard. So we all can carry in the courtyard. We're all one big happy family for the courtyard. But you're not a guest in my bayis. I retain exclusive ownership over my bayis. Therefore, you have no right to carry from your bayis in the chotzer into my bayis, because that's going from one rishus, a rishus that's shared by many, to a rishus that's owned by a single person. If you explicitly limit, and vice versa, then nothing. If a shul doesn't work, if you say I'm not giving up, I'm giving up my bayis, but I'm not giving up the courtyard, then you accomplish nothing. No one's allowed to carry. The main objective of the people in the courtyard is to carry in the courtyard. So that's the given. That's our main objective. The question is, do they also have a right to carry in your bayis? If you explicitly state I'm not giving up rights to my bayis, according to Rabbi Eliezer, do you have such a power? Now let's see. So all my problem, I'm not going to be vatil. what would the halacha be? Do you have such power? Let's ask the question in the reverse. According to the Rabbanon we learned above, I told you one side of the coin, that the issue of the runners of the person is not generous. Person is stingy. I only give up what I have to give up. I'm giving up my rights in the koyt. I'm not giving up rights in my bias. Therefore, no one has a right to carry from the koyt into my private home. But let's say, according to the Rabbanon, the person, the individual says, I'm giving up my rights in the courtyard, and I'm also giving up rights in my bias. Does it work? So let's see. What's the reason? So now the Gemara really wants to search deeper into the exact reason of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. My Taima is the real reason the Rabbi Eliezer Mishum Dikasav Ramlatel Rishus Chatzeroi Rishus Beisoi Bitel. It's because you're generous. It's your certain generosity. Therefore, the high in this situation, Omar Anoloi Mivatilna, I don't want a mivatil. It works. And likewise, according to the Rabbanon, it's the same thing. Do we say it's not because of generosity? Everything that we learned above is incorrect. And that's a very, very big dafkamina. We'll see in a moment. It's because it's a mitzis. It's a matter of perception. A person, the bias beloy chotzer loy avinshe, the diary. When you buy rights, let's say you're moving into a new development, it's unheard of to buy a dwelling in a residence and have no rights in the courtyard. Okay, think of some development, I don't know, you think of an apartment building, you have a right, you have your apartment, but everyone else in the building has a right to store things and to leave things in the lobby, but you have no rights in the lobby. What other people have in the lobby, you have to imagine a certain type of, in the ancient times, they had a courtyard, you put things in the courtyard. Everyone, that's what you do in your court, you park your wagon, you park your animal, you leave your possessions. It's the reason why Rabbi Eliezer says that when you relinquish your rights in the courtyard, you are automatically relinquishing your rights in the bias. It's not because I'm a very generous person. I'm not a generous. This is the market. This is the reality, the mitzias of this, how people think. You buy a house, that means you own your private rights in the house and you share the rights in the courtyard. You would never enter into a situation where you have rights in the bias, you own the bias, you live in the bias, and I have no rights in the courtyard. They go together. If you're a guest, you're a guest 100%. If you're an owner, then I own my bias, and the courtyard I share. So now that it's Shabbos, and I forgot to participate in the Erev, and I have no choice but to give up my rights in the courtyard, once I'm giving up my rights in the courtyard, it's automatic that I'm giving up my rights in my bias.
One time a week only.
Only for the Shabbos, in this particular situation. No, it's not forever. No, it's not forever. It's a special takana. No, but it doesn't matter. It has to work with the rules. This takana, this technique, must work with the normal mindset a person has when he enters into a development. So if I am giving up rights in my courtyard, automatically that takes with it the reality, the mitzias, that I'm also giving up a right to my bias. Because it doesn't exist such a thing in the world where you live in the bias and you have no rights in the courtyard. Once I don't have rights in the courtyard, I'm a guest. That automatically means I'm a guest in this, in the bias.
What's he giving up? Just the idea?
He's giving up ownership. Ownership.
Of what? The whole house?
Yes.
So let's say I have 10 guests that come from a different...
They are...
And I want to go take your dishes.
Let's make it very simple. You're going to make a complicated case. Let's make it very, very simple. You're living alone with your family and your bias. You paid $500,000 for that bias. You have rights in the courtyard.
Right.
Everyone in the courtyard, for the purpose of carrying from their private home to the courtyard, made an Erev Chatzeros. You did not participate.
Good.
You are a sore thumb for everyone in this community.
Good.
So what's the solution? The solution is that for me, on this Shabbos, I'm basically mafkir my rights to the courtyard. I have no rights in this courtyard. I relinquish my rights, the legal rights I have to live and dwell in the courtyard. I will be this Shabbos nothing more than a guest of the other four people. So now you're no longer a problem. At least not for the courtyard, you're no longer a problem. The question is, once you give up your rights in the courtyard, are you also automatically giving up your rights in your private bais? L'may nafkamina, can the people in the other four people, can they carry into your house? Once you gave up your house, I'm a guest, you own my house. So you own my house, so you can carry into my house as well. But if I don't give up rights in my house,
so,
listen.
So what stops Mr. A,
yeah,
from taking things out of this house, and after the Shabbos, you said, no, thank you, you're mafkir, that's mine now.
Just because you give up rights in the dwelling doesn't necessarily mean you're mafkir your property. They're two different things. It's a matter of who owns the property, the property, the land, the courtyard.
But we say if he's mafkir the property, he can carry in and out, he can carry out.
That's a matter of carrying possession. It's not a matter of who owns the property. In a chanam, that's a matter of who, if you can carry back and forth from one place to another place. We're not dealing with who owns the property. That's a separate issue. But the land, the courtyard, the land itself, maybe play with him. Just even if it's a turn a little bit, it makes a big difference. Turn the other way, maybe. Feedback. Turn the opposite direction. Okay. Just play with it a little bit. Yeah, good. No, they got it. It was good before. A little bit, even a small amount. I spoke to a big expert. He told me the smallest amount of interference can make a big difference. Even someone's cell phone over here, you not even may realize, can cause a difference. Right, whatever. Good. We'll play with it. Okay, but now, so the point over here is that, so the Gemara is now wants to suggest in the second version has nothing to do with generosity. It has to do with a person's mindset. If you're giving up rights in the courtyard, that automatically means that you don't own the bais, because a person would never contract to buy a house in a development and not have rights in the courtyard. If you're a guest in the courtyard, that means you're a guest in your home as well. That's the Tam of Rabbi Eliezer and the Me'elah. And if you want to be from the one in the million, no, I will own the bias and I will not own the courtyard. Batla daitai etzel kol adam. It doesn't work. You don't have the power to do something which is against the masses. The bias will chutz le'av the inshay. The diary. When the person says you have no power, even though you say I'm going to live here, it's nonsense. And furthermore, that's the person, generally you do this, what's the time? Is it because the person is stingy, or is it because the rabbanon are of the opinion that it's normal to do something like this? It's normal, in the rabbanon's opinion, it's normal for a person to buy a dwelling in a courtyard and to live in the dwelling and have no rights in the courtyard. I'm going to be generous. Normally, I don't give up my right. But in this case, I'm going to give up my... Do we say it's because of a matter of generosity and stinginess, and a person has the power to change that? My time with Rabban Mishon, no, it's a matter of mitzias. Look at the market. Go look at the market. Go check out some of the classified section of what people do when they buy apartments in developments. Idilma, time with Rabbanim Mishum Deloy Avinish, the Masalik Namshe Lagami Mibayis of Chatz, the High Ki Orach, the Havi and become Ki Orach, a guest Lagabayu, the High, but this person, Ki Amavid Matilna, and when the person says, you know what, I'm going to be so generous, I'm going to do it, Lav Kol Kimine, he has no power to do so. Now let me take a step back now. If we're going to say this approach, let's very big enough, now we can appreciate the top of the Gemara, top of the page. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara will be at the top of the page, the Gemara says we have Machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Rabbana. And along comes Keshetim Soloimar, we add the top of the page, the Machlekes is, when you Mevatel your Chatzer, are you also Mevatel the Bais? So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course, simplistic. We must know the nafkamina is if you have five people and you only are relinquishing rights to one of the five people, do you also have to go relinquish it to the other four? So that's going to be the nafkamina. But that's only true if you learn that the Tam of Rabbi Eliezer and Nachum is a matter of hamavatel ba'ayin yofeh or ba'ayin ra. If you learn the whole Tamgal as Necham, it's all because of the logic, the logic of what's the Mitzias, then that issue of relinquishing the bias in the dish to the courtyard has nothing to do with the sugya of when you only relinquish to one person. Does it automatically mean the other four people? One, verse four, that's a matter of generosity versus stinginess. If you're going to tell me the issue of giving up your bias relative to the courtyard is a matter that has nothing to do with generosity and stinginess, but has a matter to do what's the market, what's the industry standard of barring a bias, then the two are not related. They have no relation. And being that the Gemara above said the two are related, and that's why the Gemara said it's not pshita, there's a chiddush, the Gemara was indirectly teaching us on the top of this Amud that the tam of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is directly related to generosity versus stinginess. And that's why once we know the logic, you're generous, we can extrapolate, we can go a step further, that there's going to be another nafkamina when it comes to five people, when you relinquish your right to one, and there are another four people, must you go through the motions and give it up to the other four people. So the Gemara now was pasha to the Gemara on the top of the Amud that it was a matter of generosity, and that's why we were able to extrapolate to the case of five versus each single individual. But now the Gemara is taking a step back from that, and the Gemara is really analyzing what is the correct time. The Gemara has this dilemma, and the dilemma in this is posed in relation to an nafkamina of where the person says, according to the Rabbi Eliezer, I don't want to give up my bias, and according to the Rabbanu, where the person says, I want to give up the bias, and now we have this nafkamina of what will be the halacha, and the Gemara's maskana is, you know what the bottom line is? Amalei, the answer is, Abai answered a papa, Bein l'Rabbanan, Bein l'Rabbi Eliezer, Kevin the Gale Daite, Gale. The bottom line is, like we said on the top of the Amud, it's a matter of generosity. It's a matter of stinginess. And generosity and stinginess is up to the person. There are no set rules. There are some people that are generous, and there are some people that are stingy. And therefore, if you want to change your midos, go right ahead, and the halacha will give you that leeway to change your midos. Once we now know that the machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and Necham, is a matter of generosity and stinginess, so now we're back in business. Now, on the top of the Amud, we can extrapolate. What would the halacha be where the number one says to, I want to relinquish my rights to number three. He didn't mention number two, number four, number five. Must he explicitly say, I want to relinquish to number two, four, and five as well? So that will be the same nafkamina. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if one is generous, since we know the whole issue is a matter of generosity, once you're generous all the way. According to Rabbanan, you're not generous, you're not going to give it up to the other people. Came in the goal, he died to goal.
On Shabbos proper?
Yes, on Shabbos itself, because before Shabbos, you mechuyev to make an Erev. Before Shabbos, you have to look at Shulchan Aruch, you have to look at all the Rishonim. Bittul does not work. Before Shabbos, they're just lazy, right? They're going around. Today it's not really an issue because today you buy a box of matzah, and you only do this, by the way, once a year. You only do this Erev Pesach. We all do Erev Pesach, and one person buys the box of matzah. A box of matzah, how much does it cost today? It costs today about $4 or $5, right? How much costs a box of matzah? Less. Less. $2? I'm thinking about the kosher Pesach. The kosher Pesach egg matzah. I bought for Pesach for someone that needed, you know, I need egg matzah. Only I bought egg matzah.
It's worth for 50 cents a pound.
50 cents a pound.
50 cents a box.
A box. A box. A whole box. Wow.
Of what?
Of matzah.
From 50 cents.
And now, but how much does it cost the kosher Pesach shur matzah, machine matzah? Like $6. $6, $7, right? The hin matzah cost $24. The machine matzah cost about $6-$7. But let's say you buy chometz tikka machine matzah.
$99
$99 on sale. But you buy. Let's say you buy for 2 years. So one person buys the box of matzah and he picks it up. You need 18 kazesim. 18 kazesim is a shayla. It's a very big shayla. Halachah l'maaseh. How many kazesim? How many matzahs you need? There are different shiurim. Some say you need a little bit more. There's a chas, different shiurim. How much kazesim? How many matzahs? Also, different companies have different number of matzahs.
You don't need a certain volume.
You do need. You need 18 kazesim.
Not per person.
Not the max. You need a kazayis for each person. up to 18. Once you get to 18, then it's enough for a million people, the whole New York City. The whole New York City can be included in an 18 kazesim, if I'm not mistaken. So is it one box, 18 kazesim? Not according to all opinions. There are different opinions. I think most opinions, yes. Chazonish could be a little bit more. You need, I think, 22 matzahs. I don't remember all the details. You have to look in it's very good. The new Mishnah Berurah, the Dirshu, the Chelek Dalet, in the back of Chelek Dalet, that's the Mishnah Berurah, the new Mishnah. That's called the new Mishnah Berurah. Why is it called the new Mishnah Berurah? And most people never crack it open. If I said a Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Dalet is always in new condition. It's not open. But they put out recently, Dirshu put out recently Chelek Dalet, Hilchas Erevin. It's a fantastic. They have an addendum on each side of the page. They have some, so they have the laws of Eruvi Chatzeros, and they have all the shiurim, Harim Matzos from different shitas of Chaim Noah, Chazanish, all different calculations. Very, very interesting. I learned this a while ago. That's a long ago, but it used to be time of the Gemara. They made Eruvi Chatzeros every Erev Shabbos, and they make a new bracha. And how you make an Eruvi Chatzeros? You go around every single, you go around with a plate, and every single person has to contribute a loaf of bread. They're kazayas. Today, one person buys it, he picks it up, you have to give it to someone else. You have two people, one person gives it to the other person, then he picks it up, it's mezakeh for zochen l'adam shlobefadav on behalf of the entire courtyard. So you don't even know what's going on. You're the bungalow colony, you assume that the Rav, whoever is in charge, does everything kadasuch adin, so you don't even know what's going on. But in ancient times, everyone would contribute. So one person, Erev Shabbos, he's supposed to contribute. Let's say you say, you know what? I'm not going to contribute. Instead of me contributing to the Erev, I'm going to be relinquish my rights in the courtyard. It doesn't work. The takana of bitul rishus only works when you forgot, when it's too late. You have no right to do bitul rishus before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you're mechuyev to participate in the Erev mamish. Okay, but anyway, let's go weiter. And that concludes here the sugya. The bottom one is machlokes Rebbe Eliezer, and the chum is the machlokes of generosity. And there's two nafkaminas. When you relinquish the courtyard, do you also relinquish the bayis? Rebbe Eliezer, yes, the chum no. Or the nafkamina, when you relinquish to one person, does it also include the others? Rebbe Eliezer, yes, the chum no. According to the chum, you must explicitly state l'chol echad v'echad. Next, v'chein shemati, to go back to the court, the Gemara says in the Mishnah, v'chein shemati menu, sheyoitzim Arkebolin bePesach. You can use this thing called Arkebolin bePesach for moror. My Arkebolin, Amarei Shlokish, Atzvasa Cha Roziosa. What is this? Bast. Okay, bast. What is bast? It's the bark. It's the soft part that grows underneath the bark of a tree. Look at Rashi. It's Atzvasa what? Siv is the soft part underneath the bark of a tree. It's thick. Hagodel sov hadekel, around the palm tree, not around your cedar tree, and not around your oak tree, around a palm tree. If you would peel off the bark, underneath the bark on the inner side, there will be a thick type of soft substance that's called bast in English. It's called siv in Hebrew. Savadekel v'nichrach v'oil lebo, and it wraps around the underside of the bark. Kilove gefanim, like shoots of vines of the gefanim. Charzasa, and this is bitter. This has a bitter taste. Charzisa to kufos harbe yachad kime. It's bunched together. It's bunched together. V'tam morbo, and has a bitter taste. So this is a product of the earth, and it qualifies as a kosher form of moror for the mitzvah of moror on Pesach. Hajnoch osim pasim, hajnoch osim pasim, hajnoch osim pasim. Now, what can use for an eruv and a shituf? Halach lemaisa, for an eruv we use bread. For shituf we use the yayin. Okay, that will be discussed later on. But right now, basically, that's only lechatchila. But b'di'eved, you can use any type of food that you want. Chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melach, you may not use water, and you may not use salt, because these are not foods. These are not foods which satiate, and therefore it's not, does not solve the whole lumpness of the Erev. Is a person is where his food is. If you have five families, everyone contributes food, they put in one courtyard. I'm a guest in your home. One person becomes the balabayas, and the other four people are guests. How do you show that you're a guest? My food is in your home. Person's always thinking about food, right? You always are. You are where, like the Bali Musar say, you, where are you? Everyone is davening and you're daydreaming. Where are you? You're not here. You are where your mind takes you.
Gasoline.
So what?
Gasoline. I mean, food.
Where a person generally is where his food is. That's why you become part. So you have to have food. If you know that you have a bottle of water, bottled water is in someone's apartment. That's not, you know, you're not dependent. And if you have salt, that's not where your mind's going to take you. That's not something which is going to say. They are called another halacha, indirect halacha. We have halacha. You can't, it's too heavy to carry the fruit to Eretz Yisrael, Maisa Sheni. So you're allowed to redeem the fruit on cash, and then take the money, minted coinage, to take the minted coinage to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim you buy food, and that food that you buy with the money of the Maisa Sheni is in with the Kedusha of Maisa Sheni. What are you allowed to buy with the money? Anything you want. You can buy food, you can buy meat, you can buy anything you want, but you're not allowed to buy bottled water and salt. Okay, that is not valid for Maiser Sheni. Lavdavka bottled water, even tap water, but tap water, pay the water bill. Pay the water bill, so you're not allowed to buy water, and melach cannot be purchased with money of Maiser Sheni. Chutz min amayim min amelach. Next, another min amayim min amazayin, nuhal a person makes a vow. I make neder, I will not derive benefit from mazayin the entire day. Okay, you're not dealing with the whole life, because that's impossible. That's a neder shav. But you make an end for today. I'm not going to have mazayin. Mutter, you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to eat melach umayim, because that's not included in your neder. Next, Marvin Lenazir, b'yayin, let's say Nazir. Now here's an interesting shayla. Lenazir makes a vow. I am not. Nazir makes an eruv echatzeros, and he's not allowed to drink yayin. So can a nazir participate in an eruv with the bottom with Sibchol Ma'arvin? I left out. It's two eruvim. It's eruv echatzeros and also eruv tchumen. I just told you the case of echatzeros. But you want to travel more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos, so you put down your food at the boundary, and that becomes your new dwelling, and now you can carry from there an additional 2,000 amos. That. Also, you have to have food. You may not use mayim milch. What about a nazir? A nazir wants to participate in the eruv chatzeros or eruv tchum by giving yayin. But a nazir is not allowed to drink yayin. So the answer is it's okay according to Tanakhama of b'yayin. The nazir b'yayin, he can use yayin. Why? So Rashi over here says, because since this is the Rebbe Chiddush, since this is a Takanas Chazal, it's not an Ikur Hadin. When Torah, there's no such thing as a Rebbe Chatzeros, only the Rabbanon. Since it's considered food for someone else, it's good enough for the Nazir to use to make his private Eruv Chatzeros and Eruv Tuchumen.
There's no
Isra Hanoah
by Nazir, it's just
only Shachirah, there's no, definitely not. There's no Isra Hanoah by Anoz. Absolutely not. Anoz only Nalana Eid, Nalana Hanoah. And this, since this only, it's only a whole Akonaz Din Rabban, they will lean in since it's considered food for others. Only Yisrael B'Chum, likewise, the Yisrael may not eat Chum. It's Misa B'Dei Shemayim. For Yisrael to eat Chum, if he has Chum, he can use it for the Eruv Echatzeres and Shetuf and Revos, because it's considered food for other people. Sumchis Oimer, he disagrees. He holds Bechulin. Sumchis holds, he holds that that at least when it comes to a Yisrael, he may not use Truma. He only can use Chulim because it has to be fit for the person himself. What about Nazir? Does he come to disagree by Nazir as well? That is a discussion of the two things in the Gemara. With Mama Farish, Rashi says, my time of the Pollock symbols, I Nazir. The Gemara will discuss when it comes to Nazir. If he disagrees or not disagrees, that's going to be a different issue. But here in the Mishnah, he's only coming to disagree clearly with the law of Chulin, Chuman, Chulin for Yisrael Vaita. Ulukoy Vesapras, another Shaila. Let's say now we're discussing, referring specifically to the din of, with the din of Eruve Tchumin. And let's say we have a coin. The coin puts the Eruv Tchumin, it's put in a Beis HaPras, where there once was a mace, and someone came along with a plow and plowed over the mace and possibly dispersed bone fragments of the mace in a given area. So the law is a Kohen is not allowed to walk in the area where the mace has been plowed over. He may come in contact with those bone fragments and become Tameh. If he moves the bone, Heset, he becomes Tameh.
Where do we have that you have to have access to?
That's a given. That's a given. That's part of the takana that you have to have access to your eruvei tchumen at the time when Shabbos begins. And there are nafkamin. Let's say it's in a tree. I'm not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Or let's say it's in a rishus. I'm kind of have kavan because the tree's in the rishus harabim, and I put it in the rishus hayachid. I can't get it because it's haitzah. So there are a lot of halachas of the Rabbanim, the Raisa, but here we have a problem. The Nazir is not able to access his food because the food is in a place where he's not allowed to walk because it's a Beis HaPras. Now the halachas, a Beis HaPras is not Osim in HaTorah. A Beis HaPras, technically, a Nazir can go there, or a Kohen can go there if he's extremely careful. He gets down on his hands and knees, and he crawls, and he blows with his breath, to make sure that he's not coming in contact with any bone fragments. Therefore, the Rabbanan are very lenient, L'kohen Beis HaPras, even though technically you can't walk there in a normal way, but since there is a technique in how you can go to a Beis HaPras with extreme trepidation and care, therefore it's good enough for a Ruvei Tchumen. Rabbi Yehuda Mer, Afilu Bein HaKvarois, you can even put the Kohen Shris in a cemetery. Why? Because you can go in a wagon. There's a technique and going into a cemetery, if you're enclosed in a box and the box is raised above the ground, so the box is a reshus by itself and there's more than a tevach between the ground and the box, so the tomb is contained, so there is such a technique in how you can go into Beis HaKvaros, and it is
when they close the windows.
When they go in the car, and also they go in the airplane, they fly over different parts where there was Tumma, Tumma, Lurikia. There are issues. You can make a chatzitza and you can go and you can eat, and therefore there's a technique for you to do. Therefore, there's a possibility you're not coming kind of with the mace. It's okay. Nevaita. Omar. Now we go a little bit on a tangent. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Mishnah begins over here with the rule. Bechol me'arvin, you can make an error with anything that you want. It appears that the Mishnah is laying down a general rule. Along comes the Shas Sugya, along comes the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lemeidim in haklala, safilu b'makam shnei b'chutz. Anytime the Gemara says a general rule, don't take the rule seriously. The Gemara and the Mishnayos are never precise. Just because it says bachol, you can make an eruv with anything you want. These are the only two exceptions. Chutz min alayim and melach, except for mayim and melach. So you get carried away. Listen, the Mishnah here is laying down a rule, and it says chutz. If you give an exception, these are the only exceptions. Along comes the Gemara. No. Don't get carried away. Just because they have a Mishnah and there's a rule and there are exceptions, guess what? There are more exceptions. So you really got to know the details. Ein lemeidin min aklolos v'afilu even b'mokayim shenem b'chutz. Now, the Gemara right away says when this statement was made by Rabbi Yochanan, there are many Mishnayos throughout Shas that have rules. Rabbi Yochanan, he made this comment after he learned one of the Mishnayis that laid down for us a rule. Now you make it get carried away and think, well, since Masechta Erevin is towards the beginning of Shas, maybe he said the rule in reference to the first in this Mishnah we've just learned in this Perek of the Chol Arvin? Because we have a rule. The answer is no. Impossible, because since here he says V'afilu b'mokoy m'shnema b'chutz, he would not have said these words in reference to our Mishnah where it says chutz. In other words, if you have a Mishnah that says a rule, Rabbi Yochanan says just a general rule and does not give exceptions. A general rule. Oh wow, we have a general rule. We got to stick to the rule. So Rabbi Yochanan now says, no. Don't get carried away with the rule. Not only a rule like what it said, what it just says, even when you'll find the rule somewhere out there in Shas where there are exceptions, where it says chutz. Now that statement obviously cannot be referring to this Mishnah, because this Mishnah, it says chutz. It does make exceptions. So he would not be saying afilu, even where it says chutz in reference to this Mishnah, because in this Mishnah it's not an afilu. This Mishnah is a Mishnah where it says the word chutz. So the Gemara just wants to point out, the Gemara wants to say, Rabbi Yochanan, ein lo b'dinei klolos afilu b'mokom shenema b'chutz. Even where it says chutz, midekama afilu, since it says here afilu b'mokom shenema b'chutz michlal, delav hachakoy, he did not make this statement in reference to this Mishnah, because this Mishnah says chutz. It's not a place of afilu. It is a place of chutz. Now, the Gemara then there says hachakoy. If that's the case, tell us exactly in reference to which Mishnah did Rabbi Yochanan make this statement. The Gemara answers hachakoy. It was made in reference to the following Mishnah. Kol mitzvah saseh shehazman gromo, anoshim chayovim, v'noshim peturois, menachayim v'napater, v'shaloi hazman gromo, it's not zman gromo, it's not dependent upon time, echo noshim v'yechon anoshim chayovim. That's the klal. And in this klal it does not say chutz. So along comes, the Gemara says, along comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, don't get carried away by this rule, because it's not always true. I'll show you examples where it's Zman Gromo and Noshim Achayiv. Uchloluhu. The Kol Mitzvah says, Zman Gromo, Noshim Peturos. Every time it's Zman Gromo, Noshim are going to be examined when the Zman is Gromo. Hare Matzah. We just finished Matzah. Noshim Achayiv in Matzah. Why Noshim Achayiv in Matzah? Because Matzah is compared to Chometz. And the Loisa says, regardless of it's Zman Gromo or not Zman Gromo. And the beginning of the Pasuk is Makish Matzah to Chometz, Nosh Machayv in Matzah, even though it's Zman Gromo. So we see here an exception to the rule. Matzah is a mitzvah says she has Zman Gromo, according to the rule Nosh Machayv, but the halacha is Nosh Machayv. So we see here an exception to the rule. Simcha, the mitzvah is Samachta Bechagecha, it's Zman Gromo. It's only 7 days, Pesach, 8 days, Sukkis. Yet the pasuk explicitly says, Ato, Ubincha, Ubitecha, Avtcha, Vamoscha, Vahemtecha, Vayecha, Shem, Shemecha, Beisecha. It says, Beferish, the pasuk, you and your bias, which includes Noshim. For Hakel, Hakel, the Torah explicitly says, Hakel, Anoshim, Noshim, Vitaf. So here we have explicit psukim which make exceptions. The mitzvah says shehazman gramu v'noshim chayavos. And furthermore, the whole mitzvah says shehazman gramu v'noshim chayavos. If it's shehazman gramu v'noshim are really chayiv. Hare Talmud Torah. What about Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah is shehazman gramu v'gisa bo yoimam v'layla and noshim apater. Noshim apater from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah v'limad v'masam espenechem. Gemara is a drash. The Gemara himself, the Kedush makes a drash that Noshim apater from Talmud Torah. Priya Revia, Noshim apater. Why? Because it says Kiv Shuha to conquer the world, and Noshim apater from Kibush. So prove with Chivshu Noshim not the Kibush. So we have the opinion Aben. Opinion Aben says the first apostle only if you mechuyev to be redeemed, then you mechuyev to do the redemption. Since Noshim, the mitzvah opinion is only to males, not to females. Memelu the Gemara makes a drasha that the one that's doing the redemption is also only males, not females. The mitzvah says Shaloyas Magav Noshim Peturos. So what do we see from this Ella? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this reference to this statement, Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha that don't get carried away with rules, even Makam Shem Echutz, Ein Min Echutz, Afil Makam Shem Echutz. Amar Abaya, Bitim Rabbi Yirmiya, Afan Anami Tani, Wislam this halacha, Oid Klalam, Oid Klalach Ramu, Kol Shemis Lagabe Hazav. Another example, we have anything which is carried by a Zav, Tomei. If a zav is an av hatoma, if a zav carries something, the object that he carries becomes an av hatoma, even if he does not make physical contact. Normally, to cause something to become contaminated, you have to touch it. A zav is metame bimasa by carrying, even if he's wearing gloves, even if he's carrying it on a tray, the object becomes tame. And what toma? An avatoma, not a rishoyin. It gets the same tum as the zav. The kol shenisal gabi hazav tomei. The kol shazav nisal. Let's say you are carrying. Someone is carrying a zav. A zav is riding in a chariot. A zav is riding on a wagon. So the wagon is carrying the zav. The wagon becomes an avatoma. The kol shazav nisal of tahar. Chutz, but anything which is carried normally is tahor with the exception. What's the exception? Chutz min aroy lemishka v'moshev. Except if the object which is carrying the zav is meant to carry him. It's a wagon. It's a chariot. It's a chair. It's a bed. If the object which is supporting the weight of a zav is an object which is meant to carry the zav, is meant for the zav to sit down upon. It's miyuchad liyeshiva or for rechiva. Then the zav, then that object becomes an av hatoma, even if the zav did not make direct physical contact with that object. There's a chatzitza. There's a bat. There's a mat between himself and the chair. A zav is sitting on a chair, and there's a mat on the chair. So the zav is not making physical contact with the chair. It does not matter. The chair is supporting the weight of the zav, and the chair is meant to serve as a support for the zav. Automatically, the chair gets the same tum as the zav. The zav is an av hatoma. The chair becomes an av hatoma. V'ha adam. Another example is this is the chiddush. Person, if Reuven is carrying Shimon, and Shimon is a zav, even though Reuven, people were not meant to carry other people. That's not the way Hashem made things. Or one person carries another person. The special gzeres hakasov that if Reuven carries Shimon, Reuven becomes an av hatoma. One person carries a zav. Now, that's the klal. Along comes the Gemara. The Gemara says the suleka. Is that the only thing? But there's more. We have here a klal, and the klal basically enumerates all of the items which become an avatoma. Something which the zav carries, or something which has been carried by the zav, a person. But there's one thing that was left out, and that's what's called a nerka. Okay, we listen over here. Mishkav u'moshav. A mishkav is a bed. Al-Khur, that means it's meant to support the person when he's lying down horizontally. A moishav is when the person is sitting down, like we sit on a chair. Person pretty much, when you sit on a chair, you're pretty much vertical. Think about it. When you're on a chair, you're vertical. You're bent a little bit. Your knees are bent, but you're vertical. A mishkav is you're flat. There's another category, and that's called a nerkov. A nerkov is a chariot. It's something which causes a person, it's not a mishkav, it's not a moishav, it's something which is used to transport a person, a wagon. That was not included in the list. The list included a mishkav, a moishav, included an adam, it included something which is carried by the zav. The zav carries. But what about the category called nerkov? Now the chidna, you'll ask me, but a nerkov, every single nerkov is automatically a mishkav or a moishav. When you go in a wagon, the wagon has a chair. So the wagon automatically is called a mishkav or a moishav. So the Gemara is going to explain now, not necessarily. There's something which is included in the category of nerkov, which is not included in mishkav moishav, and that's the holder of a saddle. When a person sits on a saddle primarily is a mishkav. It's something which you sit on. You have a donkey or a camel, and you put on the camel, the donkey, a saddle, and you sit on the saddle. You don't sit on the back of the animal for two reasons. It's not comfortable for the animal, and it's not comfortable for you. That's why there was a multi-billion-dollar industry in ancient times to make saddles. You make a saddle to fit the person, to fit the animal. You make it good for the animal, for the person. So you sit on the animal. But what about the part of the saddles, which were made from leather? They were customized, and you can imagine it's like today. You have a car, you have upgrades, all these gadgets and all these tchotchkes for money. The saddles had very expensive upgrades, and the upgrades were pieces of wood which came out in the front and came out in the back, and you basically would hold on to it, and you would maneuver yourself, or you would maneuver the donkey with these extensions that would be added to enhance the quality and the function of the saddle. So these handles that come out, a piece of wood that was attached to the leather saddle, which came out, you're not sitting on it, but you're supporting your weight on it. So it gets the status called a merikov, a chariot. It's a different category. It's not a chair, it's not a bed, it's not a person, it's not something which you're carrying. It's an extension of the saddle, which has been attached to the saddle, which you hold on to, and which you maneuver your weight, and you push the animal forward or backwards, and has the status called a merikov, a chariot, which also becomes an av hatuma when the zov sits on that saddle and leans his weight on that handle of the saddle. And that was not included in the klal. So what do we learn from this? That even though Chazal have given us klalos, it's not complete. There are additional things which need to be added and removed from the klal depending on the situation. So one more time. Is that the whole klal? But there's more. Va'ika merikov. So the Mari says, what is a merikov? L'choyre, every merikov is nichlal in a mishkav in a moishav. Hay merikov echidami. Id yosav alay. If you're sitting on the merikov in the chariot, you have a wagon, you have a fancy wagon. So id yosav alay. Hay nu moishav. That's mamash what a moishav is. Hay nu moishav. So the Gemara said, nan hachi kamina. The Gemara, this is what it means. Ha'ika. The answer to is gaba de ukfa, the top of the saddle. What does it mean? Tell the brayso ha ukif tame. The saddle is tame moishav pasha, because the saddle is something which you sit on. The hatufus means the part of the saddle that you hold on to, the piece of wood that is attached to the leather of the saddle that comes in front, and it serves in the back of your body, the back of the saddle, where you can lean your back against, which is an added feature to the saddle. Tomei Merikov, a new category of tumah called Tumas Merikov. Okay, so we have over here another example. Ela Shmamino. What do we learn from this? You don't learn from klolos, even a place where it says chutz. And in this klal, what do we learn? In this klal, we did have a chutz. What was the chutz in this klal? It was chutz min haroy lemishka. There are things which are not things which chutz min, things that are not roy lemishka lemishka. Things which are, which a zov sits upon that are not meant for sitting. Like, let's say a zov sits on a utensil. He takes a basin and he turns it upside down and he sits down upon it. It does not become an av hatuma. It may become a rishon hatuma if he makes physical contact with it. But if there's something that chatzitz, if he puts a mat in between what he's sitting on and the utensil, it does not become tame at all. So we have here chutz. Even though we have chutz, we have a klal. So you would think that the klal is 100% complete. We have another example where there is something that is missing in the klal. Another example. Another example. The Mishnah. The Mishnah says, here's why we bring this down. Is that the only thing which you cannot make an erev with? For ika kimehinu petirois, mushrooms and truffles, things which grow out of off from moisture, off the side of the tree. These things, Chazal tell us, are not mazin. They do not give you satisfaction. Not in the category of salt, not in the category of water. It's a different category. And these things are also invalid for Eruv Chatzeres and Chumen, and it was not listed in the Mishnah. So here I have another example. Ein Leir Meklos, Afil Mokom Shem Bechutz. El Shema Mino, Ein Leir Meklos, Afil Mokom Shem Bechutz. The bottom line is, we have total here of three examples of Klolois, that's one example. Second example is the Zav, and the third example is B'chol B'Armuchol M'shtatim, except for Mayim Melach. We have commanded here three different examples of the Ein Leim Nechos. Next, Hakol Nikach B'Kesef Ma'aser, Givane Baidu B'Kesef Ma'aser, except for Mayim Melach. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanin, Chad Masni, Eruve. One learned this sugid reference to an Eruf. You cannot use salt and water for in Eruv Chatzeros. I'm sorry, Chad Masni, we're about to learn, Chad Masni, what we're about, everyone agrees, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah is clear as day, you cannot use water and salt for Eruv Chatzeros, and you cannot you buy water and salt with money of Ma'is Hasheni. But what we're about to learn now, there's a Machlokes, if it was taught only in regard to Eruv Chatzeros, it was taught in regard to Ma'is, so what's that? Chad Masni, what we're about to learn, Eruv Chad Masni, Ma'is, Chad Masni, Eruv, what's the mix? What happens if you mix salt with water? Salt water. Are you allowed to use salt water for Eruv? So the answer is yes. According to one version, one learns that Sugi was said not in regard to Eruv, was said in regard to Ma'aser Sheni. You're allowed to take your money of Ma'aser Sheni and purchase salt water. The one that learned this Sugi, this Chiddush, with regard to Ma'aser, Madoch, you can buy salt water with Ma'aser Sheni money. Al achas kama v'kama, you can use salt water for Eruv Chatzeros and Eruv Tchumen. Why? Because the rules of Ma'aser Sheni l'chol hadeis are more chamor than the rules of Ma'aser, rules of Eruv. Eruv are purely a din derabbanan. It's a matter of getting some degree of satisfaction, some degree of nutrients in your body, some zion. Ma'aser Sheni, the Torah says it has to be a fruit. It has to be, you have to purchase fruits, peros. And if we are so lenient to consider salt water to have a din of a fruit, because it does provide some degree of sustenance, and that's a din de iraisa, al achas kama v'kama, we're dealing with Eruv Chatzeres, which is only din de rabbanon, certainly it will be good enough. But if you learn the leniency of salt water is okay when it comes to Eruv Chatzeres, you have no right to apply that to Ma'aser Sheni. Eruv Chatzeres is a din de rabbanon. When it comes to a din de raisa of Ma'aser, maybe the halacha will be machmer, it's no good. My time of payer in terms you need a fruit, and it cannot be considered to be a fruit. The more is going to dash and all these later on. When Rabbi Yitzchak came, he told the halacha on Ma'aser. Meila Kol Shekain when it comes to the laws of Eruv. May say, hey, Rabbi Yudah ben God, this is Rabbi Lezer Shol Beisam. You like him tzir bekesef Ma'aser. They would purchase tzir is brine, fish brine with kesef. Kesef Ma'aser Omaloi. So what's the kasha? The kasha is tzir. It's lahay lo shanu am heyid kiosav is a masen ma'aser. The problem is tzir is better. Tzir has mixed within it. Heyid Rabbi Yosef goes to the family of the Shabbos Abul. How you learn tzir? The kesef ma'aser. So what's the kasha? The kasha is dafka tzir is better. I know that we have to go right. He was not, he was stopping in the middle of the sentence. So I told him, no, you're not allowed to. Why not? The only time he was matir tzir is where part of the fats of the fish were mixed into the tzir, basically is salt water. It's brine. So brine is basically water with salt. But he only was matir to purchase this when part of the actual flesh of the fish was mixed into the tzir. It's mashma. If it would be pure tzir, which is equivalent to regular salt water, it would not be valid. It's mashma at this that he told that he allowed them to purchase with ma'aser sheni money. Tzir dogim, that's because the kirvei dogim was mudav and there was some actual substance of fish. But pure brine, which is equivalent to pure salt water, is no good. Avol mayel melech lo. So how can you say it's okay? We're dealing in a situation where in Achnami, when we learned that you're allowed to use mayel melech, in Achnami, you're not allowed. We're masking. We never will mat you to use mayel melech. You have to add some shemen into the mayim and melach. So you have a shtickle shemen, that already is called the peira, and that's okay.